Okay. We'll get this tried and see if it works. Want to talk about something? We got a good crowd. Glad to see everybody here tonight. So we're going to have a subject called a ready mind. And we know the mind is the intellectual capacity that each of us has. Sometimes in the Bible it talks about our heart, having a heart destined for service to God. Well, that actually is our mind that is doing that. So let's look at this. The question is your mind prepared to serve God? And for some of us, I can say with confidence, yes. I mean, we've been doing that, and we have the strength in our character to continue doing that. And I'm very happy about that. Sadly, some of our people are not that prepared to serve God as they should be. And so if you're not one of those, how do we get there? How do we get our minds to that point where we serve God even more than what we're doing right now? That's something we have to work on. See, our mind is an important factor in our everyday conversations. We need it. I mean, we need our mind to discuss things. We can have a narrow mind or a very open mind. And something can blow our mind or bore us out of our mind. And we can be absent-minded, or most things easily come to mind. And we can bear in mind, or we can get a load off our mind. I mean, we've heard of all of these. And so we can be out of our mind and in our right mind. So there's so many ways we could be talking about that, but we know what we're talking about. We're talking about the intellectual capacity of our brain that gives us the direction and motivation for everything we do, everything we say, everything we think about. And so that's all associated with the mind. So how many times have you heard or used any of these common idioms? You probably have, and a lot of times, and certainly we have no problem telling others they're out of their mind. I mean, there's no doubt about that, but and sometimes we kind of hold it to ourselves and talk amongst each other. Oh, they're out of their mind. They don't know what they're doing. But anyway, our mind is our center, our will, our inner man, our capacity of reasoning, and that's what it is. And we know that the mind is, in normal situations, the control center for all that we do. I mean, everything that we do. And so what we do with our mind is truly important to our spiritual success in this life. And so that's what we need to focus on. We must not allow our mind to be corrupted or become debased. I mean, that is a possibility. And knowing that such would not be pleasing to God. And we know that's the case. So we've been blessed with God's directions for our mind, our body, and our soul. He's told us how we're supposed to behave, how we're supposed to live, how we're supposed to think, and what attitude we're supposed to have in doing all of these things. He's given us these directions. And our mind is our awareness and direction center for all of these. All right, so let's search out God's advice for our mind. What does the Bible say? And so controlling our thought processes doesn't have to be difficult. Now, we have to be reminded, well, where your mind is, there's where your heart is. I mean, that's what's going to happen. So if our mind is in the gutter, our behavior, our words, and everything else is going to be in the gutter. If our mind is focused on things above, then yes, we're going to be a lot better than we were before. So we can make the proper decisions and discover true success in getting our minds right in the sight of God. So let's open the scriptures to consider these points about directing our mind. All right, we need to ready our mind. We need to get it prepared. And so there's always a beginning point, and in this discussion, we must ready our mind to receive the direction of God. I mean, that's the first step. We've got to be ready to listen to what God is telling us. And if we're not even willing to listen, what's the chances of us doing what God wants us to do? It's none at all. I mean, so we have to prepare ourselves and get our minds ready, you know, just like Ezra did in Ezra 7 and verse 10. But Paul records that the brethren in Berea were more noble-minded because they received the word with all readiness of mind. And then they went on to search the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. In Acts 17 and verse 11. And there is a certain preparation of mind that is required when it comes to obeying God's will. I've got to learn what God's will is, then I've got to do God's will. So we're commanded to be doers of the word and not hearers only in James 1 and verse 22. And so the decision to follow the direction of God through Jesus Christ requires some readying of the mind. And so we must be determined to leave behind sin. In other words, that comes through repentance. Yeah, we live one way, and then all of a sudden, we need to make some changes. Why? Because our old way is not pleasing to God. And that's the idea of repentance, is to change direction or the course of our behavior, the course of our life. And so that's repentance is involved in this, changing our ways. And yes, it includes the sorrow of having offended God when we realize that. And the direction of self-will must be yielded. Matthew 16, 24, you know, Jesus said, you have to take up your cross and follow me. I mean, it's not your way anymore. I mean, that's the way we need to look at it. It's not my way, it's God's way. And too many people have a problem with wanting to keep things their way. And they're going to pay the price for it in the end. I mean, there's no other way of saying it. I mean, it's sad that it's going to happen that way. And we're not saying that in a vindictive way either. It's just the fact that people who choose to do their own thing, they're guilty of selfishness, and God does not appreciate selfishness. All right, the days of being directed by the whims of our flesh must be abandoned. You know, Galatians 5, 19 through 21 talks about the works of the flesh. And we have the sinful sexual sins, and then, of course, the sins of the heart, the wrath, the anger, the malice, and the strivings, and things like that. And those must be abandoned and put away. And even things maybe not specifically mentioned, but things just like those, and such like, is the passage there. And then Ephesians 4, 17 through 23, Paul gives a whole long list of things, which basically are kind of parallel to the works of the flesh, but he just used a little bit more words in explaining that. But these are things that must be abandoned. Don't lie to each other. Don't mistreat each other. But turn around and love one another. So that is there. And of course, the reality of needing help must be understood. We must know in our mind. You know, Romans 5, 6 through 10 is talking about the fact that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Why? Because God loved us, and he wanted to give us the opportunity to have salvation. And so, I mean, it comes from God. He makes it all possible. And if we have no interest in pleasing God, what's the chance of us doing what God wants? Well, once again, very slim. And that's our society we live in today. I mean, they don't have any interest in pleasing God, or they don't even think about God except as a swear word, and that's all they do. But people who want to go to heaven when they die, they need to learn, what does God want and expect from me, and then we need to do it. So that's where our minds get involved. So we must also make the preparation to have the great confession, you know, Matthew 10, 32, confessing Jesus before men. And that confession, as we've said many times, is not a one-time right before you're baptized action. I mean, our confession is to be done every day of our life. Everywhere we go, we need to be confessing Jesus Christ is my Lord. And, of course, what's going to be an advantage there is if we're living the way God wants us to live, it is going to be a true testimony. Now, if we live like the world and claim, well, I'm a follower of Jesus, people just going to give you that look and, are you serious? Are you crazy? I mean, that's what they're going to do. But when we prepare ourselves to serve and honor God the rest of our lives, we have no problem telling the world those things. And we must tune our hearts to the evidence that we have been given so that we might believe. You know, John 20, 30 and 31, many other things did Jesus in the presence of many witnesses, but these are written that you may believe, and believing on his name, you might have eternal life. And so that's it, that we might believe. God gave us enough information that we can believe. He gave us everything we need, so we don't need anything else. So we need to become willing to state our belief like the Ethiopian eunuch. You know, Acts 8:37, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so we need to recognize that, and that comes with preparation of our mind. And we must submit to God's direction. You know, 1 Peter 5:6. We must do that. Submit, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that you may be perfected. And so, yes, we need to do that. We need to recognize God is greater than me. And so what he wants, I need to submit to. And so if I'm not willing to submit to God, then there's not going to be any blessings available for me. So we have to know that. And knowing that obeying God is not about, look at me, look at what I have done, like so many of the accomplishments of this world. You know, Jesus warned about those folks in Matthew chapter 6. Watch those folks who stand in the marketplace and say the long wordy prayers and say, hey, look at me, I'm a religious person. Jesus said they have their glory is the praises of men. But if we want God to praise us, Jesus, what did he say? He said, you go home, get in your closet or get into an inner space and commune with God that way. Talk to God that way. But it should never be, look what I have done. I think that's one of the problems that many of the denominations have fallen into and many churches of Christ have fallen into. It's not about doing something for God, but it's our view. How does the community view us? And so they make their decisions based on how is the community going to view us? And what are we doing? So do we need to open up an outreach center? Do we need to do this or that? I mean, do we need to support the Boy Scouts and have a Boy Scout troop here? Or things like that. I mean, they're all looking at what can make this church look better? In other words, what can we do to make people glorify us? And we know that's not right. Our purpose is to glorify God. We're supposed to glorify God in our bodies. We're supposed to glorify God in all that we do or all that we say. You know, 1 Peter 4:11, that in all things God may be glorified. That's what we're supposed to do. And so obeying God is about humble submission to the will of our Creator. Just like Matthew 7:21, doing the will of God. And when we prepare our minds this way, we will be ready to obey God and to continue obeying God. And so we have to have our minds prepared for service, to serve God. We also need to set our mind. And we've heard this phrase before. Yes, you're thinking Colossians chapter 3. See, this is one instance where stubbornness could be a valuable characteristic. I'm not going to give up on God. Doesn't matter what people tell me. Doesn't matter what society tells me. I'm not going to turn my back on God. And in that case, stubbornness is a good thing. Usually, sometimes we get our minds made up. We don't want to change, and we're not going to give up what maybe vices we might be participating in and saying, well, I'm just going to do this. God's just going to have to accept me like that. That's stubbornness. That's not good. But when we stand there and we want to be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, then, yeah, in this case, maybe stubbornness isn't the right word. We usually associate that in a negative way, but But having our minds made up, or having our minds set. And so we must be stubbornly determined to do God's will and get to heaven. That's what we need to be doing. And so the scriptures motivate us to achieve heaven. And the scriptures give us encouragement. They also give us direction and instruction. And so we're supposed to learn from the scriptures. That's what Paul said in Romans 15:4. They were written for our instruction. Why aren't we learning from them? And probably those in this room are learning from them, but we have so many who really have chosen not to learn from them. They're the ones we're concerned about because they could be lost, and we hate to see that happen. And so we are taught that heaven is our home that is prepared. Jesus went to prepare our home. John 14:3 says, "I go to prepare a place for you." And so, yes, we have a home prepared. And as Brother Murray, who I learned this from, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. That quote has been said many times. And I think Brother Murray came up with that many, many years ago. But anyway, heaven is our prepared place for a prepared people. We have to be prepared. If we're not prepared, I mean, we sing the song, unprepared, careless soul. Yeah, why will you linger? Yeah, unprepared to meet your God. Heaven will be our everlasting dwelling in the presence of God. You know, 1 Thessalonians 4:17, Paul was addressing some concerns they had about the fact that some were dying before the Lord came. And they were saying, did they miss the boat? I mean, did they miss that opportunity? And Paul had explained, no, it's not going to happen. I mean, we're all going to be raised up. Everybody's going to be changed. And when the Lord decides to come again, we will meet him in the air. And we will be in the presence of God forever. And of course, that statement applies only to faithful Christians. We talked about faithful Christians this morning. And only the faithful ones are going to be with God in heaven. The unfaithful one won't be there. And those who have not taken the opportunity to become a Christian, they will not be there. But for us who are faithful and doing our best, even if we pass away, we'll be raised again and we'll be considered faithful by God. To me, it's a place beyond comparison with any of this world's beauty. You know, Revelation 21:10-27 describes this great city, the magnificent city, foursquare, all the gold, the jewelry, the streets of gold, the river of clear water, and the tree of life with every kind of fruit on it that's producing perpetually. I mean, it's just such a beautiful picture that we can look forward to. But no matter what kind of word pictures that Revelation puts into our mind, we have the assurance from Ephesians 3 and verse 20, it's going to be better than that. So heaven is going to be a lot better than what few words we have that describe it. And so the scriptures also direct us in the way to get there. And we have to keep that in mind. Jesus is the way. There's no other way to heaven. There's no other way to God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. And his pathway has been revealed for us to follow. He gave us the pathway. 1 Peter 2:21-23 says he gave us an example. I mean, Jesus gave us an example of living. How did Jesus live? Jesus lived with the one purpose of glorifying God and serving God and obeying God. That was his whole purpose in life, is doing the Father's will. And so that's what we need to be following. Jesus gave us the example of dying. I mean, why did Jesus die? He did it because God needed that. God needed him to die in that way. And so, his pathway serves as an example for us. Now, are we willing to make sacrifices? Are we willing to follow the example of Christ and lay it all out for God and do everything we can for God? That's what he wants us to do. So to be set is to be determined and unmovable. Don't get it, give in there. You know, they say sometimes a mind, sometimes talking about the mind that is set is like concrete. In order to get to the root, you got to do a lot of busting away and got to bust a lot of junk out of the way. So let's hope we're not like that. But like I say, if we're determined to hold to the truth and not give in and compromise, people may say that about us. Well, if that's the case, so be it. But if we're not willing to give up a vice or some sort of sin or something that we have in our mind that we just don't want to give up, and people try and get us to see the light and we choose not to, well, that can be a problem. See, in Colossians 3:1-2, set our mind and our affections upon spiritual things, like thinking of heaven. Set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, not upon the things of this earth. And so we also know that endurance is necessary to achieve success. Now in Hebrews 10, beginning verse 35, it says, "Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, He who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul." So we don't need to shrink back. And so that's what we need to do. We need that endurance. And several passages of Scripture remind us that we need endurance to run the race that is before us. You know, like Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. I mean, we got the great cloud of witnesses. And so therefore, we need to run with endurance and recognize these things. And we need to turn our eyes to the Lord instead of letting the world turn our distractions away from Him. And there is a tremendous difference between starting and finishing. You know, just because there's a project going on, you start it, but what happens if you don't finish it? I mean, years ago they passed some resolution, well, we're going to spend billions of dollars and build a high-speed railway through California, right? Where did that go? They started. There, you can see plots of land where they had it planned to go through, and they did a lot of preparation and even laid down some rails, but where is it? Well, it's not there. And I guess some little frog got in the way and they had to stop their production and stuff. So, but anyway, there's a difference between starting and finishing. You mean Jesus taught the one who started building a tower but did not finish. And it was a shameful thing for them. He got started, he got the foundation, but then he ran out of money. And he became the laughingstock. And so he says, you don't start anything unless you're willing to put forth the effort to see it through and continue that. And it's one thing to begin obeying God, but we must be determined to stay the course. And that is where we set our mind on doing God's will. So that's why setting our mind is so very important. All right. There are some important exhortations concerning our mind found in Colossians 3:1-10. And yes, that's where the passage is that we talked about just a moment ago. And Paul first exhorts us to seek those things which are above and set our mind on things not on this earth. Verse 2. But Paul, through inspiration, instructs in both what to do and what to avoid. Says there are some behaviors that God does not like. You need to stop doing those things. Before you became a Christian, you lived in the futility of your mind and you practiced the things of this world. Now that you've obeyed the gospel, you need to put away those things and put on love and compassion and kindness and the things that God wants you to do. See, if our heart is set on the world, our plans will come to destruction. You know, Jesus talked about that. Lay up your treasures in heaven. I mean, otherwise, if you lay your treasure up on earth, moth and rust and things will destroy it. Lay your treasures in heaven where they cannot touch it. And then 1 John 2:15-17, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life, shall all perish with the using. But he who does the will of the Lord abides forever. We need to be determined to seek heaven. That needs to be our goal. And to help others seek heaven. That's something a lot of people, they seek heaven for themselves. And they don't care about anybody else. As long as I get to heaven, that's all I care about. But folks, to be like Jesus, we've got to be concerned for everybody's soul. And we've got to be helping others seek heaven. And that should be our duty. That's our job, is to help other people get to heaven. So when we set our mind this way, we will resist worldliness, and with determination, we will push ahead towards heaven. Then there's focusing our mind. We need to focus our mind. The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 1:13-15 talks about maintaining the focus that our hope requires. Hope does not disappoint, but we need to hang on to that hope. We need to live in such a way where we hold on to that hope, and we cannot let it fade away. So he says, you are to gird up the loins of your mind. I mean, to gird means to gather and tighten, to get it ready there. And so in this case, we gather and tighten our thoughts. That's what we need to do. We need to gather our thoughts, and we get those thoughts from the Word of God, and then we tighten ourselves around it and hold on to it. I mean, if something is loose, I mean, it's just like loose living. What does that mean? Well, when you hear, you say, oh, they have loose living, in other words, their morals are not very good. I mean, that's what kind of lifestyle they live. But if we tighten our thoughts, then we're not going to be loose in our living. We're going to be determined. We're going to be focused. And this is the way God wants us to be. Setting our mind. I mean, that's included there. And so we're also to rest our hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is what Peter said there. And so meaning that we focus on our hope of reward and refuse to let anything distract our hold on that hope. Now, for some of us, that's difficult because we live in this world. And it's an evil world that we live in. It's a sinful generation that we live in. And we're trying to balance, okay, our friends, our family, our loved ones, our coworkers. I mean, they're all wrapped up in all this evil, just like in the days of Noah. And we have this hope of a reward. We just got to make sure we don't let anything distract our hold on that hope. And so that's... Yeah, it's a challenge for us. But if we have our minds prepared and set, then it won't be impossible, as some people seem to think. And so we are to be as obedient children, being holy as he is holy. You know, Peter used that phrase a couple of times in his letter. We're to be holy as he is holy. And in this we listen, we learn, and live the holiness of Jesus, our Savior. That's what we're supposed to do. And so a requirement of having good things is maintaining them. In order to have good things, yeah, it's nice, but you need to maintain those things. And we must maintain and renew what we have in order for it to keep its value. If you don't take care of something, it's going to get bad. I mean, we have a couple mechanics here that can tell you, if you don't take care of that engine, you're going to have problems and it's going to be costly. You don't do the proper maintenance on it, it's going to be costly. Same goes for a home. Same goes for our bodies. If we don't take care of our bodies, there's going to be problems. And some of us are experiencing that. So we know that can happen. So we have to maintain and renew what we have. And we need to maintain our relationships. You know, if you don't work on your relationships, things are going to go sour. I mean, we have to talk about our marriage relationships. Nourish and cherish, Ephesians 5, 28 and 29. We have our family relationship, Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. And certainly all of our brethren, Romans 12, 9 through 16. A lot of instructions there on how we're supposed to treat our brethren. Be kindly affectionate to them. And care for one another, pray for one another, and be kind to one another. And so we have those rules. We also need to maintain our material possessions to enable us to use them well. Yeah, some people, they don't use their material possessions wisely, and that usually gets them in trouble. Some people happen to get a little extra cash, and they just go wild with it. And I mean, I knew some people back in Texas. I mean, here they are, they're barely getting by, and then all of a sudden they get something, a gift from the government, and hey, they got an extra $100. Let's go to Red Lobster. Instead of paying bills or going to the store and buying rice and potatoes and stuff, let's go to Red Lobster. How many people do you know that's described that way? If they got it in their pocket, they're going to spend it. And a lot of people, they get paid all the time, different times, but a lot of people used to get paid on Friday. They get their paycheck, go out, spend it all, blow it all, and then by the time Sunday comes around, they're sitting in church, well, I only got $3 left, but that's all I have, so I'll give all I have, and God will be pleased with that. No preparation was put into planning there, and no purpose of mind. So, I mean, we've got to maintain our material possessions so that we can give to those who are in need. And most importantly, however, we must maintain our hope of salvation. Hebrews 2, 1 through 4. Don't let it happen to you that you lose that hope. I mean, that was there. I mean, the gospel message was preached to us. It was confirmed to us by those who heard. And so let's not lose that hope of salvation. And when we focus our mind this way, we will maintain our hope of salvation. And one day we will find our hope realized in heaven. And that is, like I said, if we prepared ourselves and set our minds and focused our minds, that can happen. And that's what we want to see happen. There are many exhortations to direct us towards life and living. And the Bible gives us those things. We have considered just three little points here that help us align our minds with God's will. To have a ready mind. And there is only one thing that resists any further progress. Whether or not you will make up your mind to do what is required today. I mean, that's what we have to be focused with, and we need to basically consider this every single day of our lives. Am I going to give up on God, or am I going to stay the course? And so we have the decision to make up our mind and do what is required of us today, and that is every day. It's not just a Sunday only thing. It's every day of our lives. So what's on our mind does matter. I mean, we saw in the Old Testament, people, they went through the motions. They did the sacrifices. They observed the feast. They did what God required of them, but their hearts were not in it. Their minds were not in it. And God says, I'm not going to accept that. It's not there. And why is it any different today when our heart's not in it, what good does it do? God's not going to accept it. And we have to warn people that your mind has to be focused and set on serving God. And so we need to ready our mind to receive God's will. We need to set our mind on doing God's will. We need to go forward with a focus on continuing to do God's will. I mean, it's not hard to imagine there. So use your mind today to desire, accept, and maintain that hope of salvation. And the opportunity is yours right now. And it's really, this opportunity is given all the time, and it will always be given until that final day when God said, enough is enough. And he decides to end it all. Until that time, everybody has that opportunity to get right with God. So think about that. That's going to be our lesson. It's just something for us to focus our minds upon if we want to go to heaven. Now, people who don't want to go to heaven, they could care less. And they're really not going to pay attention to lessons like this. But if you're serious about going to heaven, you will pay attention and you will comply. So think about those things. And Lord willing, we'll all be able to make it to heaven. That's what our purpose is, to help each other get to heaven. So we're going to sing the invitation song. If anyone needs to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.